Hello, I'm Dorothy Jetta, and you're listening to Noongar Radio.
And you're listening to the Law Matters program, coming to you each fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Good to have your company. Jodie Hoffman with you this hour on 100.9 FM in Perth and surrounding stations, and also broadcast through the National Indigenous Radio Service. It's great to have your company. And a really interesting show coming your way today as well. Very shortly, we're going to cross to outside of Parliament House in Perth, where people are getting ready for a rally that has been organised through the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee. And a very important rally drawing attention to deaths in custody. So Mark Newhouse from the committee will join us shortly on the program to let us know what's happening at Parliament today. We'll also later this hour be speaking with WA Chief Justice Wayne Martin about Indigenous imprisonment and the overrepresentation of Aboriginal people within the justice system, and looking at what's working, what's not, and where to from here. I hope you can stay with me. Good to have your company here on Law Matters for another fortnight, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. And should mention as well, if you hear any of our programs and you want to hear them again, they're all placed onto our website at www.als.org.au after broadcast. And on that website, you'll also find a host of information about services that the ALS provides for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples throughout Western Australia. We're going to have some music from David Bowie in a moment, and then after that, Mark Newhouse from the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee here in Western Australia joins us from Parliament House. Stay tuned. Time to talk some serious stuff, and chatting with us is Mark Newhouse, who is the chair of the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee here in Western Australia, a very important event taking place today at Perth's Parliament House. Let's cross there now. Mark Newhouse, thanks for your time on Law Matters. How are you?
Thank you, Jodie. Hot. It's hot. Very
hot. It is hot in Western Australia, but it's a few degrees cooler than yesterday, so we can't complain too much. But, Mark, I know that most people are aware of the Watch Committee, but for those who aren't, give us a brief overview of why the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee was established.
It was established in about 93, I think, to monitor the implementation of the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody. And it's been going for quite some time. It's an independent community organisation that runs on volunteers.
And, of course, the Royal Commission into Deaths in Custody report over 20 years ago, but unfortunately not a lot of improvement, is there?
No, in fact, you know, there are obvious signs that the law and order, tough on law and order and tough on crime approach, which has been used by successive governments, is making the situation far worse.
Mark, back in August of last year, there was a very tragic incident which saw a young woman die in a lock-up in South Hedland. Now, the Watch Committee has been very involved with following up on this and keeping tabs on making people accountable, I guess, and finding out more and trying to seek answers all throughout that process. Now, you've already held one rally in relation to this death, but I understand that the second is taking place in Perth in just over an hour's time.
That's correct. And at the National Day of Action that was held last year on the 23rd of October, there were protests right around the country, around Western Australia. And the one in Perth, the Premier made a commitment to the late Ms. Dew's mother that he would make sure that she was kept up to date and received information on a regular basis. That simply has not occurred. To ask to meet with the family on Sunday, and they're none the wiser.
Okay, now that's going back 4 months. It was on the 23rd of October last year, the National Day of Action. Are you expecting some political sort of heads to turn up today?
Most definitely. Robin, the Greens member, MLC Robin Chappell, will be speaking. He'll be also handed the petition to table in Parliament by the family of the late Ms Dew. There will also be, I guess, a number of other speakers as well. I suspect that the opposition will, the Labor Party will have a couple of people here as well.
I'm speaking with Mark Newhouse, the chair of the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee in Western Australia. A second rally taking place at Perth Parliament House today, kicking off at 12:30 lunchtime today, which will see family members of the young woman who tragically passed in South Hedland in August hand over a formal petition for tabling in Parliament to implement a range of measures which could hopefully prevent further deaths in custody, in police custody. It's a very emotive area, obviously, Mark, and I know there was a groundswell of support for the National Day of Action. It must be very satisfying to know that it's not just Aboriginal people around the country that want to see urgent change. It's most people that you speak to are just absolutely horrified that something like this can happen.
That's correct. They're shocked and disbelief that Western Australia, the only state, as far as I'm aware, where the state locks up people for non-payment of fines. It's just a completely ridiculous waste of time and money, and it costs lives. People die. So we want that that option of going to prison as the way of paying of fines to be abolished. And that's something I understand that can happen quite quickly and doesn't require any legislative changes. There's been a deafening silence from the government and from the Premier on the specific measures we propose, which also include the establishment of a custody notification service, which is an absolute last line and saves lives. It's incredulous that the government can't see the merit of these measures and get on with it.
All right. Now, the steps of Parliament is obviously a very effective place to hold a rally such as this, to draw attention to people coming and going from Parliament. But you want to see not just politicians there, but members of our community, Aboriginal, non-Aboriginal, as many as can come up today at 12:30 to show their support.
Yeah, look, absolutely. This is an issue that affects all Australians, some more than others. However, this could be anyone's daughter, son or child that would find themselves in this situation. They just need to get on with it and abolish prison as an option for serving fines.
All right, now give us a rundown again of the speakers for today.
So today we have members of the family. So Sean Harris is an uncle, the mother of the deceased, Della Rowe, the grandmother. They'll all be saying a few words, followed by Robin Chappell, Greens MLC. Vanessa Colburn, who's just returned back from speaking in Canberra, and finally one of our members who will announce that that we've established a Band Up Action Group, because the situation there is dire.
All right, look, we hope it all goes as well as can be expected up there today, and hopefully, more importantly, that you get some of the responses that you're seeking from government. It's 12:30 today on the steps of Perth's Parliament House, kicking off, as I said, 12:30, and be great to see as many people up there as possible. Bear in mind that this show is repeated on Sunday nights here on Noongar Radio, and also on Tuesdays of next week on the National Indigenous Radio service. So for the benefit of listeners to those programs, this event is happening on Wednesday, the 25th of February 2015 at lunchtime. Mark, if people would like more information about the rally today or future work of the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee, what could they do?
Well, they can ring me directly or contact us on our website. we have campaign meetings around the death of Miss Jew every Wednesday at 6 o'clock at 445 Hay Street. The Band Up Action Group meets every Wednesday at 4:30 at the same address. And in fact, this Friday, we're holding our annual general meeting at 6 p.m. at 445 Hay Street. And so we encourage people to get involved, to join, and to come along to the AGM.
All right. So if you would like any more information on what we've spoken about today with the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee, jump on their website, www.deathsincustody.org.au, or you can give the chair a call, Mark Newhouse, on 0415 074 602. Mark, hope it all goes well today at Parliament, and that you get some answers, and we'll be thinking of the family members who have obviously suffered a great deal since the loss of this young woman.
Thank you very much, Jodie, and yes, we look forward to some positive changes.
Mark Newhouse, Chair of the Watch Committee here in Western Australia. I'll give you his number again, 0415 074602. Coming up on the program shortly, WA Chief Justice Wayne Martin. This is the Law Matters program, brought to you each fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia, broadcast here on Noongar Radio in Noongar Country, but also, fortunately, broadcast to the rest of Australia through the wonderful services of the National Indigenous Radio Service. So you hear us live here on a Wednesday, but you can catch us again repeated on Sunday nights on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM and the following Tuesday through the NIRS. Good to have your company, and talking about some important issues this fortnight on the program, as we always try to do here on the Law Matters Show. But for those of you who are not aware, there was a big event in Perth on Friday, and it was the Law Summer School, attended by hundreds of people, with speakers from here in Western Australia, but also throughout the country and overseas as well. And it's hosted by the Law Society of WA, in association with the Law School at the University of Western Australia. And it was talking about the rule of law 800 years after the Magna Carta, but there were more specific talks that various speakers did head off on. And there was a session on Friday morning that our CEO, Dennis Eggington, took part in, that was also attended and presented by Chief Justice here in Western Australia, the Honourable Wayne Martin. He joins us on Law Matters. Wayne, thank you for your time.
Absolute pleasure, Jodie. Thanks for having me on.
How important do you think it is to have seminars like the Summer School that took place in Perth on Friday?
Oh, look, I think it's very important, particularly to raise awareness of the issue that we were discussing in that session, which is, of course, the gross over-representation of Aboriginal people in the criminal justice system of Western Australia, but, of course, also of Australia. It's a very important issue that I don't think has quite the level of public awareness that it deserves.
Chief Justice, you have described Aboriginal incarceration rates as tragic and the biggest issue facing the state's justice system. Just how tragic is that system in this state?
Well, just to run you through the figures very quickly and very briefly, because I know your listeners will get bored with too many figures, but criminologists talk about imprisonment rates per head of population. In Western Australia, the Aboriginal imprisonment rate is 3,663 per 100,000. The national rate is 2,174, so mathematicians out there will immediately realise our rate is 70% higher than the national rate, but the national rate itself is very, very high. You compare our rate to the Northern Territory, that's 2,800. We're about 30% higher than the rate per Aboriginal person in the Northern Territory. What that means in practical terms is that tonight in Western Australia, one out of every 15 adult Aboriginal men will spend tonight in prison. And that, I think, is just an unacceptable statistic. You compare those numbers to the rate for non-Aboriginal imprisonment in Western Australia, that rate is 164 per 100,000. So just go back, 3,600 as against 164. And that's a multiple of about 23. So that means that Aboriginal adults in Western Australia are being locked up 23 times more than non-Aboriginal adults. If you really want to depress yourself, you go and look at the figures for kids. In Western Australia, an Aboriginal kid has got 58 times more chance of being in detention than a non-Aboriginal kid. And Aboriginal kids make up 75 to 80% of our juvenile detention population at any given time. If that's a portent of the future, it's a pretty depressing one. tragically, Jody, those figures have been getting progressively worse year after year after year. They're not improving, even though we've thrown a lot of time and effort and trouble trying to improve them. We're just not succeeding.
It is a... I mean, I think tragic is the right word for it. When you're saying that, you know, tonight, one in 15 Aboriginal men will be in custody, the flow-on effects of that from their partners, their children, their extended families is absolutely enormous, isn't it? Families are just being fractured.
Well, the indirect cost of incarceration is huge, but even just in terms of direct costs, it costs about $120,000 a year to keep a person in prison. When you look at the number of adult Aboriginal people in Western Australia, that's $260 million a year just locking Aboriginal people up. Now, you think about the better uses we might be able to make of that $260 million if we could find ways of reducing Aboriginal incarceration. And to keep a kid in juvenile detention in Western Australia costs $300,000 a year. Now, you know, that's an awful lot of money we're spending on detaining kids. And I just wonder whether we ought to think about ways in which we might spend some money elsewhere in the system, preventing crime, addressing the sort of causes that lead to Aboriginal people being overrepresented, that would save us money in the imprisonment area.
Well, when we look at strategies such as justice reinvestment, which is pretty much what it says, it's reinvesting into communities so that solutions are sought at a local level. It has been shown to work in other parts of the country, internationally as well. What do you think it's going to take for governments to embrace something like that?
I think if you look at justice reinvestment, which of course had its origins mainly in America, it was recognition of the financial cost that prompted governments to act. In states like Texas, which has led the field in justice reinvestment, it wasn't moral outrage at the proportion of young African-American men that were in Texas prisons. It was the Treasury of Texas saying to government, we are going broke because it's costing us so much money to incarcerate all these young African-Americans. And so fiscal reality, it's a tragic indictment, I think, on the things that influence government policy, but fiscal reality is probably the most significant. And those sort of numbers that I mentioned in Western Australia are not insignificant in our overall state budget. And so, you know, hopefully I would think that people will realise that you need to spend money to save money. And if you spend money on, you know, there's an old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If you spend money on the causes of offending behaviour, you're much more likely to save money in areas where punishment is very expensive. Incarcerating people is very, very expensive and dangerous and has all these indirect costs to which you referred. It fractures family, and unfortunately for Aboriginal Australians, because there are so many Aboriginal people in prison, at times it's almost a form of family reunion. And it's become, in some areas, a rite of passage for young Aboriginal people to go to prison as part of their growing up process. You know, that's terrible. And even though, as I said, sometimes an Aboriginal person entering prison will be reunited with an uncle or a father or a cousin, the family that are left outside the prison are fractured and really distressed by the absence of important family members on important family occasions.
It really does break your heart, Wayne, when you see that the struggles that many Aboriginal families are facing. I mean, we are some of this country's most disadvantaged people, so many people suffering from poverty and mental illness and homelessness, and it is dire when you see that children are being held in adult lockups and there's sufferers of fetal alcohol spectrum disorders being imprisoned, women are in jail for unpaid fines. The fracturing of families is just accelerating. What needs to happen to stop that overrepresentation?
Well, I've spoken at some length about this last Friday. There are, I think, short-term solutions, medium-term solutions and long-term solutions. Long-term solutions go to all the things you were just talking about. I think the reason why Aboriginal people are overrepresented in the criminal justice system of this country is because Aboriginal people are overrepresented amongst the group that is the most marginalised and disadvantaged within our country. And we know that it is that group that is overrepresented in terms of those who commit crime. So then the question becomes, okay, how are we going to reduce the overrepresentation of Aboriginal people amongst those who are marginalised and disadvantaged? And it's all the things you mentioned. It's FASD, it's infant health. We know that the first 3 years of a person's life are the most critical for their formation, so we need to make sure that Aboriginal kids are getting proper nutrition. It's things like housing, making sure there's adequate housing, school participation and retention rates, substance abuse, domestic domestic violence, mental illness, all of those sorts of things. If we're going to reduce Aboriginal incarceration in the longer term, we've got to address all of those sorts of things. And they're not short-term fixes. They're long-term problems that require governments to invest in social infrastructure in Aboriginal communities all across Australia. In the meantime, there are other things that we can be doing. In the medium term, diverting people away from courts. Bad things happen to people in courts. We need more programs, and I think ideally Aboriginal, determined, designed, presented programs that are controlled by Aboriginal people, culturally appropriate, that address the real problems from people who know. Addressing the causes of the offending behaviour simply, rather than simply responding to the symptom. In the shorter term, there are things you mentioned, the recent tragedy of a lady who died in Port Hedland prison while being at Port Hedland police station. The only reason she was there was fine default. There are some, last year in Western Australia, some 1,300 people presented to prison only because of fine default. 16% of Aboriginal men went to prison only for fine default. 27% of Aboriginal women went to prison only for fine default. So there's things we could do in that area. I don't simplify the problems. Fine default is a complex problem. If we're going to have criminal laws, we've got to have a punishment, a sanction that attaches to breach of the law. If somebody can't afford to pay, what is the appropriate sanction? Putting people in prison in those circumstances just seems we've got to think of another way around it. Driving licences, driving offences is another area where Aboriginal people are significantly overrepresented because, of course, many more Aboriginal people don't have a driver's licence than non-Aboriginal people, particularly in regional and remote Australia. So we've got to make it easier for Aboriginal people to get driving licences. Far too many Aboriginal people are in prison for driving offences that don't involve dangerous driving or driving while drunk, but involve repeatedly having driven without a licence. And so there's a solution to that, and that is to make sure that we improve the rates at which Aboriginal people get licences. Things like bail. Aboriginal people don't fare well in relation to bail. So if we, often because they don't have accommodation, you mentioned homelessness earlier, if we could address that problem and provide accommodation, I believe that we would be able to provide it much cheaper than $120,000 per year and increase the rate at which Aboriginal people get bail. So there's those sorts of short-term and long-term and medium-term things. There's no silver bullet out there that'll fix the problem overnight. There's a range of things that we can and I think ought to be doing to reduce the problem.
You mentioned homelessness, and it's very frustrating when our service, the Aboriginal Legal Service in Western Australia, and I'm sure it's not dissimilar in regional areas as well, where we're having people come in all of the time for breaches of move-on notices, but quite often these people are homeless. There may be solvent abuse issues. There may be from out of country, don't understand the boundaries of which that notice refers to. When you've got measures in place like that, that's really not helping to address that overrepresentation. When you've got, you know, the mandatory sentencing, move on notices, and other measures are contributing to it. Do you think?
Absolutely, Jodie. And again, I addressed this in my talk last week. Things like move on orders aren't discriminatory on the face of them, because everybody who is committing a public nuisance in a public place is liable to a move on order, whether they're Aboriginal or not. But what we do know is that Aboriginal people are significantly overrepresented in those who receive move on orders. And that results, if the move on order is breached, then the person might be arrested. If they're arrested, they might feel that it's because of their race. So they're not happy about being arrested. They get in an altercation with police. And the next thing, in addition to being arrested for breach of the move on order, they're being arrested for resisting arrest. They're charged with resisting arrest. And of course, if they have a serious altercation with police, they might be charged with assaulting a police officer. And in Western Australia, if they cause bodily harm to the police officer in the course of that assault, there'll be a mandatory minimum sentence of imprisonment. So these things, on the face of the law, they don't look discriminatory, but in practice they work very significantly to the disadvantage of Aboriginal people. As I mentioned, the Bail Act requires a court considering bail to look at whether somebody has accommodation or not. And so at one level that's non-discriminatory, because every homeless person is treated alike by the court. But at another level, we know, as you've mentioned, that Aboriginal people are overrepresented amongst those who are homeless. So they're overrepresented amongst the people who are denied bail. people who are remanded in prison, in custody, until their case is disposed of. So we've got to, I think, get a bit more, we have a better appreciation of the way in which the system works against Aboriginal people, and look at ways in which we can make the system more responsive to their particular characteristics so that it doesn't work unjustly against them.
Our courts are absolutely bulging on a daily basis, and I know some of our country lawyers are seeing an incredible amount of clients when they go on circus just in one day. It is at crisis point, and I do want to talk about, we've talked about a lot of the issues that are affecting people, but the next topic I want to talk about, Chief Justice Wayne Martin, is the issue of drugs in the community, and I'm not just talking Aboriginal people, but the wider community. It's becoming a huge problem, and particularly meth.
Yeah, well, meth is a very, very serious problem, Jodie. It influences a lot of our work. In the Supreme Court, where I sit, we deal with the most serious criminal cases, mainly armed robberies and homicides. Amongst our armed robberies, I can't remember a case that didn't have a drug connection, and the drug of choice these days in Western Australia is almost always meth. So my guesstimate would be that more than 95% of the armed robbery cases we deal with have a drug connection, and that drug is almost always meth. Amongst our homicides, the worst homicides, and of course all homicides are terrible, but the worst, the most gruesome, the most ugly, the most violent, the most bizarre, are often associated with drugs, and again that drug is very often meth. Almost all of our gun homicides involve a drug connection, and my guess would be that between a third and a half of our homicides have a drug connection. Of course, that's not to deny. Alcohol is very significant in relation to other offences. In the homicide in Australia, particularly involving Aboriginal people, alcohol is a very, very significant contributor to the cases that we see in that area as well.
All right. 40 years almost working in the legal system, Chief Justice Wayne Martin. It's got to be time for some serious change, don't you think, in relation to adopting some of these strategies that clearly will have better results than just building more prisons?
Look, I agree entirely, Jodie. We need to, so radical rethink. One thing I think we can say with confidence is that there is a limit to how much you can expect punishment to change behaviour. If you go back to the topic we were talking about, drugs, the courts of Australia, and particularly the courts of Western Australia, have been handing out very heavy penalties for drug dealing for a decade now. Upper level meth dealers have been getting very long prison terms, not dissimilar to those we give to murderers, and we make no apology for that because of the terrible consequences that meth causes within our community. But it's not making, it doesn't seem to be inhibiting the flow of meth through our community. In particular, it's now increasingly evident that it's in regional and remote parts of the state. So people, I think, have an optimistic view of the capacity of punishment to change behaviour, and it just doesn't have that beneficial impact. So we've got to look at a wider range of things. Drug use, alcohol abuse, they're primarily public health issues, and we need public health solutions for them. And you can't expect the criminal justice system to solve problems of that level of magnitude. But having said that, we need more change. We need more focus on the causes of criminal behaviour, more courts like the mental health court, like the drug court. We need courts that will refer people to alcohol abuse programs, domestic violence courts, community courts, as we call them in Western Australia, for involving Aboriginal people, Koori courts in Victoria and so forth. So we need more of those specialty courts that focus upon finding a solution to the underlying cause of the behavioural problem that's causing somebody to breach our laws.
Chief Justice, we recently celebrated our 40th year as the Aboriginal Legal Service here in Western Australia. It became incorporated on the 7th of January back in 1975, a couple of years before you got your law degree completed.
Yeah.
And what a shame that it's a business that has continued to grow and be needed so much over the years. Ideally, we would like to be, you know, needing our services less, so that it would mean that less people are being incarcerated and needing our assistance. But
that's tragically right, Jodie. And of course, you're being asked to do more with less because of the reductions in resourcing across the whole legal aid sector. The demand for your services is greater than it's ever been, tragically. But you're being asked to meet that demand with less resources. And again, that is something that will inevitably increase the incarceration of Aboriginal people.
And of course, you know, it's a nervous wait, I guess, for Aboriginal legal services around the country as we wait for the impending budget cuts and what they will actually mean at the front line of services for our people, because I honestly couldn't imagine a day in court where an Aboriginal legal service could not be really, really needed and depended upon.
Absolutely, I agree with that entirely, and we don't want to go back to the bad old days when, as I mentioned earlier, Aboriginal people are already very disadvantaged in the criminal justice system, particularly in remote and regional areas. English may be a second or perhaps even a third or a fourth language, and the cultural differences are profound when a person is in court. People in that circumstance really need the assistance of a lawyer if they're going to have any prospect of just and fair treatment. And so we don't want to go back to the bad old days where lots and lots of Aboriginal people facing charges that could result in their imprisonment are not represented.
Chief Justice, we'll let you go shortly, but as you mentioned, there is no silver bullet. There's no quick or simple solution to the overrepresentation of Aboriginal people within Western Australia. But where do we start?
I think I'd probably start with the short-term solutions, things like fine default, driver's licences, bail, those are diversion, increasing legal representation for Aboriginal people. They're the sort of short-term fixes in the medium, but probably diversion in the medium term, more Aboriginal, you know, I think self-determination is so important in this area. Aboriginal people need to be encouraged to take responsibility for their own communities and to devise solutions for the problems that emerge in those communities. And that's in the medium term. In the longer term, it's all about bridging the gap. It's all about all the health and lifestyle and all those other disadvantages that we know Aboriginal people face across a whole spectrum.
We appreciate your time on Law Matters and look forward to having another chat with you in the near future.
Thanks very much for having me on, Jodie. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Chief Justice Wayne Martin in here in Western Australia talking with us about a range of issues. A lot of information there and, always good to have him on the program. We're just about out of time on Law Matters for this fortnight, but thank you for your company. Thank you to my guests, Chief Justice Wayne Martin and Martin Newhouse, WA Chair of the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee. Don't forget, if you want any more information about their work, you can just jump online and check out the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee website. A heap of information on there that I'm sure you'll find very interesting, and perhaps you'll even want to get involved in their work. From myself, Jodie Hoffman, thank you for your company. Don't forget, this program is repeated here on Noongar Radio on Sunday nights, and you can catch it next Tuesday, this program that is, on the National Indigenous Radio Service. Thank you for your company. If you want any more information about Aboriginal Legal Services, check out our website, www.als.org.au, www.als.org.au.